This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about our PSVR 2 review, our Horizon Call of the Mountain review, and even more PSVR 2 game impressions. We'll have all this and more because this is PS I Love You XOXO. Yo, what's up? I'm Blessing. That's Janet. That's Paris Lily from the X-Cast. And this is PS I Love You XOXO, your weekly PlayStation podcast that you can watch live right here on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or later on podcast services around the globe. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code KindOfFunny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/PSILY to write in with your questions, PSN messages, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny. We'll get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Honey, but let's start with topic of the show. So usually we start with a PSN message, but this is a special episode. Of course, we are reviewing PSVR 2. We're reviewing Horizon Call of the Mountain. We have on a special guest, Paris Lily, filling in for Greg Miller. And I want to start with Paris. Paris, we're about to talk about PSVR 2. What is your history with PSVR 2, or PSVR, I should say? And also, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
First of all, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure when I get to come on the show. My history with VR is nothing. This is my first interaction with VR. Maybe at a couple different events, I might have done a few minutes of it, you know, just putting on a headset over the years. But this PlayStation VR 2 is my first true hands-on, let's deep dive into VR and understand everything about it interaction. So, again, I want to thank PlayStation for the opportunity to do it because it's been an interesting week for sure.
Heck yeah. And also shout out to PlayStation. Of course, this PSVR 2 and the software we're about to review are provided by PlayStation. Janet, how's it going with you?
It's going. You know, we're here. We're finally here. We've been talking about it for a long time. PSVR 2... we have it. I put the headset on. We played the games. And I'm excited to finally like dive deep into what that experience was like. You know, we've been speculating on it a bunch. So yeah, can't wait.
Heck yeah. I guess, Jana, I guess we'll start with you, right? I want to talk about your history with VR as well. So coming into this, what has been your VR experience before PSVR 2?
Yeah, as I've mentioned before, I had PSVR 1, got it kind of late into its life cycle, because, you know, entered the PS4 late as well. And that was probably my first VR experience ever, just kind of went in on a whim, got it used, had a chaotic story of trying to get all the parts, and then people don't know what the parts are, and then I got to buy the old controllers, because I never had the Move controllers. It was a whole thing. But I enjoyed a lot of my experience on PSVR, you know, Astro Rescue Mission. I did a lot of reviews on VR as well. And then from there, I got the, at the time, Oculus Quest, you know, the Meta Quest. And that's kind of been it so far. So I haven't done a lot of, you know, the more hardcore, heavy hitting hardware stuff. But I've kind of gotten into like more of that, I think, what kind of helped make VR a little bit more mainstream. So with stuff like the Meta Quest and, you know, PSVR. So now we're back. PSVR 2. Yeah, we're here. Have it. And
before you even get to it, right, I'll set up my own history with the PSVR or with VR as well, right, where I started, I came in at PSVR. I played through a lot of those, the bigger titles that came to the platform. So I played through Astrobot, Rescue Mission. I played a lot of Beat Saber. Beat Saber is, at this point, one of my favorite rhythm games ever made. I think it is a fantastic VR title, and I'll say the same about Astrobot Rescue Mission as well. Those are probably my two back-to-back favorites, but also games like Blood and Truth, Trover Saves the Universe, I enjoyed a lot as well. And quite a few other VR games that came to the platform, I enjoyed a lot. After PSVR, I got the MetaQuest, and I have the MetaQuest 2 as well. And I've enjoyed a lot of those games too. I look toward things like Walking Dead, Saints and Sinner. There was another funny game that's kind of akin to Trover Saves the Universe that I think is from either the same studio or the sister studio. But like those first person you're walking through, you got all the jokes, you had like the improv stuff going on in those games, those experiences I enjoyed as well. And yeah, VR for me has been a thing where I think toward the first half of the VR lifespan, right, since it started, I guess over like quite a few years ago now, right? I feel like VR came out yesterday, but I guess when I look at the calendar, what, like PSVR was like 2016-ish, and even before that you were getting Oculus Quest and stuff. So yeah, VR has been around for a while, but for me it was 2016-ish to around 2019, 2020, where I was super into VR, and PSVR, I would go as far as to say that I loved PSVR, even with all the flaws to it, because PSVR was far from perfect. I think what PSVR had that was really dope was the library and the affordability of it. And so, like, getting in and having the first party stuff, having the Blood and Truths of the world, having all that was great. But then also, yeah, like, VR as an experience is so different from the games that I've experienced outside of VR, right? Which I can't wait to talk to you, Paris, about. But enough about that. I guess without further ado, Janet Garcia, you're our lead reviewer for PlayStation VR 2, the hardware. Janet Garcia, so far, in the last week, you've had that time to spend with PSVR 2. What do you think of PSVR?
It's tough. I think on one side of things, the headset itself is great. I think it's well made, it's well designed. But because we're kind of doing our review as the PSVR 2 experience as a whole, so both the hardware and that software, was it like being here at launch? I would have to put that at okay on our scale, 3 out of 5. I think what keeps it shy of greatness is feeling like we fully arrived into that next iteration of both PSVR and also like the VR market in general. You know, so much has happened in the space over that time that we just talked about, that coming to this, it definitely feels like a clear step up from that first iteration. For me, who doesn't have the MetaQuest 2, this does feel like it will be my go-to headset. And yet so much of what I'm dipping into is stuff I've already experienced, stuff I could experience elsewhere. And I think, you know, without getting ahead of it, like the heavy hitters that we were hoping would land with things like Call of the Mountain weren't quite at the caliber that I think I was hoping for from it. So I would have to put this at more okay rather than great, just because I think so much, despite having a really good time with a lot of elements of the headset, I think so much of what I have to add to this conversation is feeling like there's a little bit lacking there, having that joy, but feeling like I can't really in good faith tell people, yeah, run out and get this ASAP. This is where it's at. I think this very much is still for the hardcore. There are cool things there, but for me looking down the line, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop and for this to really feel like it's worth the while and has a uniquely PlayStation experience. I think a little bit of that is still lacking from this initial time with PSVR 2.
Paris Lilly, PSVR 2 is your first virtual reality headset. What do you think so far?
So it's interesting. Like I even told you offline, I was fascinated to hear what you two would say about it, because this is my first time with VR. So I have nothing to compare this to. This is my entry point into VR. So as Janet's saying 3 out of 5, I'm thinking 4 out of 5, because to her point, the hardware itself is well built. I think my initial impression was how light it is. I go, oh, this is really light. Very comfortable putting it on. I've had no issues with that. Where I ding it slightly would be the actual sense controllers. Not so much, and this could be a me problem. I have big hands. I found myself in a game like Call of the Mountain, not necessarily having to kind of search for the buttons every now and again as I'm playing through it. So it wasn't always seamless. I got better as I went along. But that was kind of my early impression of that. And the other thing would be, again, I have nothing to compare this to. So all these games are brand new to me. So I can't ding it for games that have previously been out because I'm playing them all for the first time. But I do think, when I think about Call of the Mountain, I know we're going to get into this more, But I think, all right, what are going to be the PlayStation built from the ground up VR games that we're going to see in year two, year three? What a third party support is this headset going to get year two, year three? So that, sure, I had this initial excitement for it because I'm brand new to it, the immersion, just everything that VR gives you. But am I still going to have that same excitement a year from now? What are going to be the games that are continue to grab me, to compel me to want to still play VR? Now, one other point I want to bring up is I had this pre-ordered. I was getting it anyways, mm-hmm. because I felt this is a 2.0 product. This is where I want to invest into it. I am probably still, to Janet's point, more of the hardcore, but I would say if someone had their heart set on this, if this is your first experience coming into VR and the $550 price point isn't a barrier to entry for you, I would pick it up. I absolutely would have still bought this, and I wouldn't have regretted it at all if I picked it up. There is enough there at launch for me that I'm happy with it. I just look far down the road to say, all right, let's make sure we're still getting support for this to keep me interested in VR, which I think we will. But that's kind of my thing. I don't want to see ports. I want to see things that are built from the ground up that truly take advantage of VR, because I'm sure we'll get into it. There's one game that I played that all of it clicked. I go, this might be my favorite game now because this clicked for me in VR, and I loved it. So that's kind of my opening thought. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Hell yeah. I think for me, I also lean more toward the 3 out of 5 aspect, but it is hard, right? I do fluctuate back and forth between the 3 and the 4 score. And a lot of that is just the what this hardware brings as hardware versus what it brings as an experience. I think as hardware, if you're talking about fidelity, if you're talking about it being a step up from PlayStation VR 1, man, do certain games look fantastic in PSVR 2, right? It really is a step up. You're talking about the OLED display, you're talking about 4K visuals, you're talking about better frame rate, and I think all that stuff shows, especially in games that are a bigger budget, games that are a bit more full-fledged, like Horizon Call of the Mountain. You see that stuff really come to fruition in a way where I can genuinely say, I don't think you would have you definitely would not have a Horizon Call of the Mountain on PSVR 1. That is the thing that stands out to me. The games look clean. The Sense controllers work way better than what we had with PSVR 1 as well. Again, if you remember, PSVR 1 had those Move controllers. It was either you're using that or you're using the DualShock 4. And the Move controllers sucked. Like, they were bad. Like, it felt like hey, how do we make this thing work, as opposed to how do we make a thing that feels like it's part of the future, right? And you're with PSVR 1, you were literally using something that was part of PlayStation's past. But I do like the Sense controllers, especially compared to the Move controllers, and even just as a standalone or a standalone VR controller, because again, I've used quite a bit of the Meta Quest, and I like the Meta Quest controllers as well. And the VR 2 Sense controllers are way more aligned with that. But you also have some of the features that you see in the DualSense as well. So you have the adaptive triggers, you have the haptic feedback, and then you also have things like touch detection, which adds a bit more compared to what we had with VR 1. What can ding it a little bit for me in terms of hardware, I will say that even though they've added in inside-out tracking, which is way better than what we had before, it's not always perfect. While playing certain games, I was surprised to see that some of the tracking felt lost at times. And I think part of that comes down to how well lit your space is. And so I got to play PSVR 2 both in the Confundy office, right out in our kind of living room area out there that is very well lit and very spacious. And I also got to play quite a bit of it at home, which I would say probably makes up like an average home area in terms of lighting, right? Like, I had my windows open, I had my my lights on or whatever, but it's not as bright as the Confundy office. And when I was playing at home during some segments of Horizon Call of the Mountain, which is a game that relies a lot on tracking, because that is a game that is you're fully climbing in, right? Like, that game is a climbing experience. Man, were my hands floating away at times, or man, would I look up and for some reason I'm 5 feet away from the cliff that I was just climbing for whatever reason, right? Just because tracking got lost, because my lighting wasn't as bright as the Confundy office, which, you know, when I was here, the tracking worked way better. So that's one thing I noticed. I also noticed that for a lot of the games that require you to have, they have certain requirements in terms of space. And so there's a lot of games where you have to have 6 by 7 feet of space. And let me tell you, at my And this might be a very specific use case, right? Because I am in San Francisco. In my San Francisco apartment, I could not find any area where I could create 6 by 7 feet of space. And so I would have to come into the Kind of Funny office to play those games, which, you know, speaks to me in my situation, but I also know it's going to speak to a handful of people that are at home that might be in a similar scenario where they can't find 6 to 7 feet of space to play quite a few of these games. And that is going to be game per game. Horizon Call of the Mountain, I was able to play at home because that game has a seated setting and it doesn't have as big of a requirement. But for other games, like What the Bat, for example, I cannot play at home. And that was the game, that was one of the games I was most excited about. I really wanted to play What the Bat when I got home, and I booted up and I was like, ah, shit. All right, I literally just can't make space for this thing because I do not have the space in my apartment.
And so to clarify, like for the six feet, seven inches of space, that's for the room scaling games. A few games do require room scaling, like What the Bat. You can stand, though, with less than the 6, 7 inches, basically 7 feet almost, you know, 6 feet, 7 inches.
I thought it was like 6 feet by 7 feet. Is it 6 feet, 7 inches?
I believe it's 6 feet, 7 inches by 6 feet, 7 inches.
Gotcha.
But that still is a lot of space. From what I've played, which, you know, we'll get into like what we all played a little bit later, but What the Bat was the only game that required that. But yes, it is a lot of space. I have a really big apartment in LA. My living room's huge. We barely have anything in it. It's literally just like a TV, like a small one-up arcade, and like a sofa. Like, there's not anything in there. I have to push my dining table back against the wall, push the sofa all the way back against the wall, split the sectional sofa so that one of the sections was on the other side of the wall, and that gave me the space that I needed for What the Bat. Now, I will say, when I played What the Bat, I was like, I'll give What the Bat my left lung. Like, I don't care. You know, that game hit, so I feel like it was kind of worth it, but it was... I did have to think to myself, like, when I get my next apartment, will I even be able to do this kind of thing? And I think that is a very real concern for the games that do require room scaling.
Yeah. A couple things I'll throw out there as well, talking about the experience of it, right? Both the fidelity in the headset and the technology in there itself, but also what it feels like to actually use it. It is slightly less bulkier than the PSVR 1, which you gotta love, but I still felt like overall it was still a little bit more bulky than it could be, right? And this is me coming off of, again, using a lot of MetaQuests and that thing feeling super light and feeling super free, especially because it doesn't have cables. And the PSVR 2 has that cable. And let me tell you, that cable is thick, and that cable did get in the way a few times when I was playing a bit more of the active game, namely something like Horizon or something that requires you to have a bit more range of motion. That was something that I noticed as well. But, you know, overall, for me, I think the reason why I come down on the 3 as opposed to the 4 is the user experience still isn't all the way up to a place where I feel, when I'm at home casually, when I look to the future, and, you know, more games start to come into PSVR 2. When I look toward that future, it's so tough for me to think, all right, yeah, let's bust out the PSVR 2 and plug in the cable and bust out the Sense controllers. Also, the Sense controller battery life doesn't seem that great. I don't know what your guys' experience has been with it.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, I was surprised when I was playing a game for about an hour and, let's say, an hour and 20 minutes. And it was fully, they were both fully charged. I look at the thing, it was down to one bar. I don't know how long that one bar lasts is the thing. I don't know if it's one of those things where on the UI it says one bar, but really it's just like halfway down. I hope so, because, man, 2 hours of battery life is not it. That is not it. But yeah, things like that bring it down for me. And then things like library, where I look around and I looked at, we all have lists of games that we've played on this thing that we'll talk about in a second. But when I look at my list of games that I played on PSVR 2 the last week, the ones that jumped out at me the most, the ones that felt most worthwhile, those were all games that I either played before on other VR platforms or PSVR 1, or games that are like remasters, ports. You know, like the new games that are on the platform, for me, weren't hitting as much as I needed them to for a brand new PlayStation VR 2 headset that is $550. And so that's where I come down on the 3 versus the 4 score. But from there, I guess, you know, we got a lot of questions. A lot of people wrote into kindoffunny.com/PSILY. I want to bring some of them into the show. Just like, let's see, Maverick Lee Beck, who wrote in and says, PSVR 2, the original PSVR, felt limited due to the recycled PS Move controllers. With the new deliberately designed controllers, how long did it take for you to get in the zone? I hope you're enjoying it beyond your expectations. Paris, for you as somebody who's new to VR, how long, if ever, did it take for you to get used to the Sense controllers?
It took me, I'd say, at least a good hour. The first game I played was Star Wars Tales from Galaxy's Edge. And I'm in one of those opening things where I think you're down in the hangar and you're looking for, you're going through one of the crates or something, right? And it took me a minute to kind of adjust and understand how I was using those for grips. And again, I was talking before about the buttons and everything. So that was kind of a little bit of trial by error for me. But again, I'm brand new to it, so I didn't have anything else to go by. So I just like, okay, there's a little bit of learning curve to this. But once I got it, it was fine. You know, like I said, even before when I got into Horizon, it was more of just button placement, because when you look down, you're not seeing the controller. You're obviously seeing your virtual hands in there, but there'd be little indicators like, oh, I need to press like the, not the share button, but like the select button, right? Yeah. And I'm kind of fumbling trying to find that in certain instances. But as, you know, the hours went by, as I tend to use it more, it felt fine. I do think I have big hands. I do think they're built for people with smaller hands, for sure, because I just felt like I kind of had a lot of overlap with the button placement on certain things, but I got used to it.
Janet, how'd you enjoy the Sense controllers?
Yeah, I thought they were really comfortable. I was really interested to hear, again, I think I have the smallest hands of anyone on staff, so I'm like, all right, this is small hands Jay here to give this review. I was really comfortable with them. My only other experience outside of course the Move controllers is the controllers on the MetaQuest 1. They obviously are borrowing very much from that design ethos of like joystick placement, button placement, that kind of layout. I will say the thing that kind of strikes me in a somewhat negative way is the fact that the VR 2 controllers, like the Sense controllers, have what's kind of like a giant wristlet in its design. And I do think people that have bigger hands might run up to some issues. Having talked to other people about it, I feel like it's not the biggest, most common issue. But I, like Isaiah seeing them, he's like, oh yeah, like these feel like they are a little cumbersome in that. While if you think of the design of something like, you know, the MetaQuest, they have a similar ring shape, but it's kind of above you, so it isn't really impede on your hand itself. So I do wonder, like, at scale, will that be an issue for people? But in terms of form factor, it's pretty simple to like latch onto. Fairly intuitive.
If you're an audio listener, tune into the video and look at Paris holding the Sense controller, because I, goddamn, bro.
Yes.
I didn't realize your hands were so big.
If your hand is big.
And that's what I'm saying, because I have big hands, so there's a little, like, my fingers just overlap this thing and engrosses it. But like I said, I got used to it after a while, but it took an adjustment.
But yeah, for me, I enjoyed the Sense controllers. To Jana's point about the big wristlet that they have, right, going on the wrist area, what I found troublesome, and this isn't the biggest issue in the world, but is one that kept getting the minor annoyance out of me, was, you know, when you're in VR, oftentimes you look down and it is the in-game hands, right, or it's whatever, but you're not able to see the actual VR controllers. And so I would have the headset on, I would go to grab the Sense controllers, and it would take me legitimately like 15 to 20 seconds to figure out how exactly I hold these things, because it's just not natural, right, where there's like so many curves. And for something like the Meta Quest controllers, or even like any regular controller, it's pretty easy to grab a controller and be like, all right,
yeah,
this feels right, analog stick here, all right, ready to go. With that wristlet thing, I find it so difficult to like get my right, I was gonna say the right footing, which I guess, yeah, the right handling. The right hand footing of what that, how the controller should fit in my hand.
I will say that's where the pass-through comes through, super clutch. The ability to just, you know, and again, this isn't stuff new to the VR space, but just kind of talking about what the headset offers. On the headset itself, you run your hand like along the front, it's like the first button to your right, and you just click it once and you can immediately see the real world in front of you. And that's what I would use all the time when I was playing, for like, if I put the controllers down and want to put them on, like while I was playing, you know, if I want to like see someone in the room or talk to them or just take care of little things here and there, double check where I am in the space, because while you don't really like, you're not supposed to move around in VR, I think we all naturally turn a bit. So after playing for a bit, I'll toggle it, kind of readjust myself in relation to the TV. Obviously they have the borders like any other VR experience has, but I don't always like to have to, you know, be 1 inch from my TV before I realize, oh my God, I have to reposition myself. So I did find that to be a really great addition and like a necessary addition to that experience, in part to compensate for the fact that the controllers are a little bit difficult to slip on and off.
Yeah, speaking of that, I found myself often, I would start in front of my TV and I would end up in the corner in the back of the office. And so we were talking about before about space, I don't have enough space in this office either. So, but it didn't become too much of an issue other than, yeah, I'm a roamer clearly when I do VR, because I'm in the corner, I'm back at the door, all over the place. So I'll probably have to transition this out into my living room if I want to continue playing, because just simply not enough room here in my office. But like I said, for the games that I played, it wasn't too much of an issue.
So speaking of that, Kevin Chow writes into kindoffunny.com/PSILOY and says this: does the cord on PSVR 2 feel durable, and what is the minimum space recommended? And so, Janet, you were mentioning the 6 feet, 7 inches by 6 feet, 7 inches for room scale. But then here, are these your measurements? I see some measurements in the doc.
Yeah, I just jotted that in there because I'm like, who has that memorized? This is like PlayStation official. The sitting standing minimum is 3 feet 4 inches by 3 feet 4 inches. I will say anecdotally, which, you know, that's kind of what I want to hear from y'all and like how that spacing worked out, it kind of tells you as you're laying it out, like, hey, this is enough space for if you're doing the room scaling. But again, only a few games require you to do the room scaling. Mm-hmm. You really don't need it for the other ones. So in my naturally laid out living room, like not having to move the furniture at all, I was able to play, you know, Call of the Mountain, a bunch of other games standing up is my default for these games. Other than games that I feel like you as the player are inherently sitting, you know, games like Moss, games like the kayak VR game, because you'd be sitting in the kayak if it was, you know, real life. So like those I play sitting. And while that also is recommended to have that 3 feet, I didn't necessarily fully have like that big of a bubble, nor do you need that because you're not really moving. But, you know, I tried to have the space that I kind of needed to do it. And, you know, that's where the pass through and the borders and stuff will let you know, like, okay, my cat's like a foot away from me. Try not to hit the cat, you know, that kind of thing. So I did feel like outside of the room scaling, the requirements felt very akin to what I experienced on Meta's platform. What about y'all? Obviously, Paris, you know, first time in, but Bless, did you feel like, other than those room scale games, you kind of needed around the same amount of room as anything else? Was it what you expected?
No, like, again, games like Horizon Call of the Mountain that do allow you to sit and don't require the room scale space were totally fine for me. The only thing that would be the bound, you get used to like hitting the boundaries, right? Where you reach too far outside of the space, and then the game will warn you with the outline of where you're at, and will tell you, hey, you're reaching too far. I was hitting that quite a bit, but again, that's more on me and the space that I'm in versus what's going on in the actual game itself. You want the headset to tell you if you're about to like punch your mirror in your room or something. I was fine with that. On the topic of the cord, I will say the cord does feel durable. It is a thick cord. Yeah. My one beef with it is that it seems like it doesn't disconnect from the headset. And so I have the biggest fear, and this is probably why they made it super durable. If that thing tears, you're done. You're donezo with that thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I am a little nervous about it. I didn't have anything personally on, and like my headset for PSVR 1 was a used headset to begin with. I never had anything like break or bust on me, but it is a little bit scary in that sense. And it does make kind of storing it, you know, if we're talking about ease of use, a little bit awkward, because it's like, I don't know, do I like wrap it around like a freaking N64 controller? Like, I'm not exactly sure how this is gonna lay in my setup in a nicer way.
As somebody who's been taking VR2 back and forth from home to the office, Greg did me a favor and handed me like a zip tie to like tie up the cable when I'm going back and forth. And at a certain point, I just got tired and I was like, fuck it, I'm just wrapping this thing around the headset. But the cable does, if you are somebody who's transporting it or storing it somewhere and you're rolling up the cable, that once you unroll it, it will coil up and keep that same energy. And so if you're fine with that, you're fine with that. But just a warning, that will probably happen if you're rolling up that cable. I want to bring in another question from Pims, who writes in and says, for the PSVR 2 in general, are you able to open your hand entirely without losing the controller? Or do you always need to keep your bottom fingers clenched? A lot of controllers that offer hand tracking will be strapped to the palm of the hand. But from all I've seen from PSVR 2 controllers, that isn't the case. Does this feel like a notable limitation in your time with the device? Do you guys have any thoughts on opening your hand without losing the controller?
I didn't really try it. I don't think. Paris, did you do anything to have that in there?
Yeah, I don't think I really tried it either. It wasn't anything that stood out to me where I felt it was an issue, if anything. Again, like being in a game like Call of the Mountain, you know, I would mess around opening like my hand in the game just to see what it would look like as I'm doing various gripping things, and it seemed fine. Nothing stood out as being an issue to me.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like it really tracked my hand super well. Like in Call of the Mountain, for instance, and maybe I just wasn't holding the controller properly to take full advantage of the hand tracking aspects. But things like oh, doing like a little peace sign or like moving my hands in different ways. Like I felt like it kind of just picked a gesture, like this is what you're doing, right? I'm like, not really, but like doesn't matter for the gameplay. So I haven't really been that impressed by that aspect yet, but I also haven't played a game that's centered around that as a more core mechanic. I feel like Horizon's more like a fun fact than like a core mechanic.
Yeah, with Horizon, when you look down at your hands, if you like have a finger on the R1 button, which is on the side of the Sense controller, you'll see the finger come down. Or if you have your thumb on any of the buttons, then you'll see that thumb like tuck in. But it's never a mechanic, right? Like you can grab things in that game, but that is just pressing one of the triggers, right? It's not you actually doing the hand motions. And yeah, I never found a problem with the idea of opening your hand all the way. One, the controllers are strapped to your wrists. And then also, this isn't a headset / VR setup that has pure hand tracking like the Meta Quest does, where you don't even need the controllers and you can just do stuff with your hand. This isn't that kind of experience, and it's not trying to be that kind of experience. So I didn't find it to be that much of a problem. I want to bring in a question from Colin, who writes in and says, in your opinion, what is the biggest draw to PSVR 2? Why this headset versus a MetaQuest? Bonus question, what is your favorite improvement since the first iteration of PSVR? I want to start with that second question for Janet. What's your favorite improvement since the first iteration of PSVR?
I think just like the ease of use and like the modernization of the headset holistic. I guess I'll go ease of use, because that's like the, to be more specific, I guess if I had to pick a favorite ease of use aspect, it'd be that it only has a singular cable. And I know we've gone back and forth on the show about how much we wish it didn't have a cable. And honestly, now that I've spent more time with it, I'm a little less like, I don't think that's going to be the number one takeaway of that's the one thing holding it back. Like, we'll talk more about how much the cable may or may not interfere in gameplay. Personally, I find it to be fairly minimal, way less than PSVR 1. So I would say it having that single cable is my favorite aspect, just because it's simple. I plug it into the front, it's ready to go, it works the way I expect it to work, and as someone that's ventured outside of PlayStation in the VR space, it works the way I'm used to VR stuff working, while PSVR 1 was very much doing its own thing, setting out in its own way, but kind of like mashing up a lot of different ideas. I think now that the space has become a little bit more standardized, while some people may point to that and be kind of bummed that there's a little bit of lack of differentiation across the different platforms, there's something nice to standardization, because it creates a comfort that if everyone's doing their own thing, it becomes a little bit whiplashy. So that's the number one thing that I like about this compared to VR 1.
To get to the first half of Colin's question here, talking about what the biggest draw is for PSVR 2, Paris, again, this is your first VR platform. For you, what was the draw here for you to come into PSVR 2 as opposed to MetaQuest or Vive or any other VR platform?
I mean, my thing was the fact that it was PlayStation and it was their second attempt at it. And the fact that we know PlayStation is going to commit, at least from a first party standpoint, to be delivering games to this, which should also attract more third parties to want to bring games to this platform as well. So that was kind of my thing. That's why I was more than willing to take the leap of faith and pre-order it and jump into it. But now that I've actually had it in my hands and I've been experiencing it, probably the biggest thing for me is just the visual fidelity of it. Again, I have nothing to compare it to, but to have that OLED at 4K, 120 hertz, I mean, again, we talk about Call of the Mountain. It is probably one of the more visually impressive games that I've ever seen. Obviously, the most impressive that I've seen in the VR space. It's like, I was just like a lot of wow moments going through that. So that would probably be my initial thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, the fidelity is a big thing for me here, a big feature, especially coming off of PSVR 1. And even as somebody who uses MetaQuest, I do like the idea that, you know, I can get the Horizon Call of the Mountains, maybe I can get the Half-Life Alyx's, and maybe a game like that, if that ever comes to PSVR 2, could be able to take advantage of the Sense controller and getting that adaptive triggers, getting the haptic feedback, getting all the things that I do like about the Sense features that PlayStation adds there. I think that is a big draw. But I mean, to your question, Colin, right, talking about, you know, why this headset versus a MetaQuest, for me, that's a difficult question to answer, because if somebody came to me right now and was like, which one should I get if I can only get one, I think I still would go with the MetaQuest. And part of that, a big part of that, honestly, is price. You know, price point is a big thing when it comes to hardware. But then also a big part of that is library. You know, MetaQuest already has a fairly good library on there. You already got the games like Beat Saber. I know Beat Saber is coming later, but, you know, you got that. You got a bunch of games that have already come to VR. And then you also have you have games that are designed specifically for a wide audience, right? I think the tough place where PSVR is at is the fact that, you know, there aren't as many exclusive games coming to PSVR 2. Of course, we got Horizon, and we'll talk about Horizon. Gran Turismo is there as well. I don't think any of us has gotten to try Gran Turismo yet, and I'm very excited to try Gran Turismo. But for the most part, most of the games that we've gotten to experience so far, and I think most of the games that are going to come to the platform, are games that are also available on the Meta Quest, and I'm getting it there at probably a similar level of art style and fidelity and all that stuff, because I don't think a lot of devs are doubling down to making the PSVR 2 version the biggest and prettiest version. It's like, right. No, they're just worrying about getting these games out. And so, yeah, you have that. You have the lack of the cable. You have all that stuff that goes into the MetaQuest. And I probably would tell somebody to go there until the library is there with PSVR 2. Of course, we can't predict the future. We can predict in terms of what we think is going to happen, but who knows? Maybe you get some bangers down the line. Maybe Gran Turismo and Horizon Call of the Mountain might be enough for you to want to come in. Maybe down the line you get a Spider-Man or a God of War VR game or more PlayStation Astro. First party stuff. Astrobot.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Even if you just ported the old one, I think that'd be like kind of enough.
1,000%.
But like genuinely, yeah, like it's interesting too, because it's VR is such still a niche. And I think the style of game is often fairly different than what you experience in like the mainstream console PC gaming space, that there's different things that'll draw different people to different places. So like for me, it's such a weird spot because like I don't have the alternate universe where like I'm U-Bless and I already have like the MetaQuest 2. Since I don't have that yet, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go all in on this headset, because like I'm not gonna drop another like $400, because they both will have the same overlap to some degree. To your point, yes, the library is way bigger inherently on MetaQuest 2 because it's already established, it's already going. They're kind of, this is what they do, versus like PlayStation, this is their like second entry point into the VR space. But I am excited about the prospect of having, like for me, that appeal is, like, to Paris's point, it's being on PlayStation. It's the community and it's the potential of it's having
the trophies.
Yes. The trophies hit, you know, like, what can I say? But I will say on a more like specific level, I actually am really enjoying the integration of the haptic feedback. I don't know how I feel about the headset vibrating. Like, it does kind of work, but at what cost? Like, I don't know if I like that aspect, but I do feel like I enjoy the haptic feedback in the Sense controllers a little bit more than like I have in, you know, previous VR experiences. So I don't know if that's, quite enough to warrant the extra money that it does cost to enter into the VR space through PlayStation, but that is something that I'm enjoying versus other platforms that I've played on.
Shifting gears, I want to bring in a question from Matt Grover, who writes in kindoffunny.com/PSILY and says, for those who have problems with motion sickness while playing VR, does PSVR 2 do anything to alleviate that, or is it the same old song and dance? What if anything do you think would help that? Have you guys had any experience with motion sickness?
During especially PSVR you, 2? Paris, because it's your first time. So like, what has this been like?
Yeah, none. Zero. I did let my son play as well. He initially was mentioning, he was like, oh, I made him feel kind of sick. But then he came back the next day and he said he was fine with it. But I've had no issues at all. It's been actually, I take that back. When I was in Star Wars Galaxy the first time and I was doing like the quick turns, I felt kind of disoriented for like half a second. But then it kind of passed and I was okay. That was probably the only time when I played.
Yeah, for me, I had to settle in a little bit to Horizon specifically. Horizon was the first game I booted up and I wanted to try, and they have a bunch of different control schemes you can do for Horizon, which is dope as hell. I try to use the stick to move, and I try to rotate my camera with smooth movement, and you should not do that from the get-go, especially if it's your first time in VR. Do not do that, right? Do whatever the comfort settings are. But, you know, I've done VR before, and so I wasn't thinking that would be a big problem for me, but it has been a little while since I've done VR. And so starting off Horizon like that was a mistake. Immediately, I was like, no, I do not need to do this. Let me do a bit more. Let me swing a little bit more to the comfort side. And with that, for Horizon, one of the options is to do movement via swinging your arms like you're running. And I like that helped. It fixed any motion sickness that I had, but also it made me look like a buffoon. I was playing Horizon in the kind of funny office, and as I was moving around, I could feel people looking at me. I could tell that I looked like a doofus.
You feel me recording you?
Yeah. Wait.
That's why you hit that toggle and you see everyone like staring at you.
I knew I was gonna get recorded. But yeah, like you have features like that help out a lot. The one thing I will say, the one game that did fuck me up a little bit, Kayak. Kayak VR. I've been talking a little bit about Kayak VR as
Kayak VR.
Who would have thought a game where you're going at high speeds on a boat? Who would have thought that would have gotten you a little bit sick? But yeah, I played Kayak VR for like 30 minutes, and at by the end of that, I was like, ooh, maybe I should put this down for a second. And I put it down, got up, and I went to lunch afterwards. And as I was driving to lunch, I was like, oh no, I'm feeling it still. Like, this does not feel good. And to shoot them some bail, I think they have done updates since then. I don't know if they've addressed motion sickness stuff, but they have added updates. So maybe that is fixed by the time it gets to you. But yeah, that was one that was a little bit of a struggle during the review process. But other than that, I think I don't know how this works, so this might be me spouting nonsense. I assume the eye tracking must help with that. I want to say we might have read something online about eye tracking maybe helping with motion sickness, but I couldn't say for sure. That's just me theorizing. But yeah, that's pretty much been me with motion sickness. Jane, I don't know if you had any.
Oh my god. We got some footage pulled up here.
Bear has footage of me playing Horizon.
You look like there's a lot to unpack in this image that we're seeing here. It is so funny that you're like in this little office chair doing VR. I do find it weird that you played Call of the Mountain sitting down. Like, that trips me out.
Really?
I think that's very much a game that, yeah, like, it just feels more comfortable to stand because, like, your character is standing.
I felt like I was going to fall over a lot when I was standing up. That's why I had to switch to sitting down.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Cause I was hitting a bus and, you know, I got this fairly late into, you know, the review cycle. So like, I didn't start until like, I got my headset on like freaking Saturday. So I went hard Saturday. I went hard Monday. I took off Sunday for the Super Bowl and Tuesday for Valentine's Day. And now it's Wednesday, you know, welcome to the half week of my life. This was the whole experience was definitely physically strenuous because I played a lot of hours in not that much amount of time. So there was a lot going on. This is the first time I probably felt motion sickness in VR, but it's also like approaching the most I've played in a small period of time. There definitely, you know, warrants small bursts instead of like longer sessions. I think for me, it's so funny because for so long, I'm like, I'm so tired of teleportation in VR games. I feel like it's so unimmersive. I want to just walk. And then Horizon Call of the Mountain said, go for it. And I was like, man, I don't feel so good. Yep. You know, I was hitting that Tony Stark, I don't feel so good. I would say the things that alleviate it, there's, again, different settings. Like Horizon, for instance, I am playing on kind of like the middle ground setting. And it has things like having this kind of like that vignette filter thing on the side that kind of darkens the edges to kind of ground you a bit. I did find the need to kind of like have my feet a little bit staggered and to, you know, just kind of be a little aware that specifically the combat was totally fine and totally comfortable. I think they nailed how to do that combat in VR. I think generally like walking from point A to point B though was a bit a lot. In that game specifically, Star Wars also, I had some struggles with as well, to Paris's point. One thing I really liked about that is, speaking to, you know, alleviating it, I think it's just more setting options, because one thing I liked is in Star Wars, you can use the joystick to traditionally walk, but you can also very easily like switch between that and flicking it to do the teleportation. So I would kind of go on and off based on what I wanted to do to kind of like spread out the immersion a little bit to make it a little bit more comfortable, because really just moving without you physically moving without like moving in real life is the thing that makes you motion sick. And that's why teleportation is there. So I really love that setup that Star Wars had of being able to seamlessly transition between walking with a joystick and flicking for teleportation at will. Like, I really enjoyed that aspect from a comfort standpoint. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're someone who's like, I literally cannot play VR because I get so sick, then this probably won't change anything for you. And I would just recommend, you know, sitting down if anything, because usually the stationary games are pretty chill for even people who are prone to motion sickness.
So we've been talking a lot about hardware. I feel like we've been holding back on software, and I think we might as well just jump straight into software. But before we get there, I want to let people out there know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go. You can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones, and then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
All right, we're back, and it's time to talk about Horizon Call of the Mountain. Paris, I want to start off with you. What are your thoughts on Horizon Call of the Mountain?
I had a text exchange with Greg about this over the weekend. I like it, but I don't love it. I think from a visual standpoint, it's, as I said before, the most visually impressive VR game that I've played so far. I found myself fighting the controls a little bit. To your point about movement, I did do the comfort setting. I didn't start that way, but I quickly transitioned to that because I'm like, no, this isn't going to be for me. But I went to the comfort setting on that. And my actual thing is, it's funny Janet brought up about how they nailed combat. I'm not saying that they didn't. This clearly could be a me problem. I kind of on the struggle bus a little bit with the combat. It just didn't 100% click with me. I've gotten better as I've gone along. Again, I think that's a lot of it with me. This is kind of my first time coming into VR, so getting oriented with the way things work in VR might be part of the issue with me, but the combat hasn't been my favorite thing to do in there. There is a lot of climbing in this to do. Obviously, I understand that Gorilla and wants to show off how VR2 works and how the Sense controller, all the different things that you can do. So in that way, this is a showcase game. So I'm not like, oh my God, this is the greatest Horizon game ever. And I'm a huge Horizon fan. And I think the other part of this is because I like Forbidden West so much, and this clearly is still in that world, I just kind of want to pick up the DualSense and just play that way. But that's just me. And again, I get this is supposed to be a VR game and you're supposed to do more quote unquote VR things in it. But because it's a Horizon game, my brain just wants to play it like Horizon. But as I have said before, I'm getting better. I would say I'm probably about halfway in it so far, because I've been, you know, going back and forth between all these different games. But I would say with all this, because I sound like I'm complaining, I would say, though, if you're picking up a VR2, absolutely pick this up as a companion piece for sure, because this is, from a visual standpoint, it's stunning. You're going to have a lot of wow moments in it. And maybe it's just a me thing with the combat versus other people. So I don't want to condemn it, but I just think I need more practice. I guess that's the best way to say it. Whereas I do like the crafting aspects of it. There's a lot of little things about it that I truly do enjoy. It's just when I get into these combat situations, I'm just not having the best time. And that just may be me fighting with the controls a little bit, and I just need to get better at it.
Janet Garcia, how do you like Horizon Call of the Mountain?
I'm kind of similar to Paris in the sense that, like, I like it, I don't love it. It is so frustrating. What another day in the life of Horizon, Stan. You know, I love the franchise a lot. again, I talk about all the time. It's like the most critically acclaimed franchise that no one gives a fuck about. Like, so many people are like, oh, I don't know. It just doesn't quite do it. And this game is the epitome of that, which, like, is why that it's just so frustrating for that reason, despite the fact that, much like Paris, I definitely think this is a must-have game if you're getting PSVR 2. I think it has a lot of fun elements. My number one beef with this game is, while I actually do, I enjoy the climbing fine. I really like the combat a lot. Again, the walking point A to point B is a little meh because it just doesn't quite hit that well in VR. All that being said, the problem with Call of the Mountain is that it feels like a lot of good, maybe even in some cases great mechanics just kind of stitched together. And there's a story laid to make you, like, to sell it that it's cohesive, but it does not feel like a whole game. It does not feel like a holistic video game experience. It feels like something does, like it's not, like, almost like it's not done in a way. And I think that's really what's lacking to me. Like, I walk away and I have pieces, but I don't feel like I even have, like, a whole cohesive thought in terms of how it's structured. It does feel like, and now we're in the climbing section, and now we're, like, in the light puzzle, like, I walk up and I pick up some gears section, and now we're in the combat section. It's very, because it's so sectioned off, it's doing a lot, and yet it ends up doing nothing for that reason. So that's why I'm kind of disappointed by this game, because it's not, like, it needs to be Astrobot's rescue mission, and it wasn't. And maybe that's, like, you know, temper expectations or whatever, but, like, I'm sorry, you're the first party game coming out. Like, you had to hit. And it didn't quite hit that hard. That being said, you know, I have more things to say about the details of the combat and what I liked about it or whatever. But, you know, Bless, I want to hear from you, you know, the lead reviewer. What is your takeaway from Horizon Call of the Mountain?
Yeah, it's funny. The first day we got PSVR and, like, I checked out Call of the Mountain for a second, I think I walked to Greg and I was like, dude, I wish there was an Astrobot on this thing. Like, I really need an Astrobot on this thing. And yeah, like you said, Horizon Call of the Mountain isn't the Astrobot of this. And, you know, like, so for me, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. I think it is a okay to good game, right? I think it's in that range. And I'll even go as far as to say that I think it's a good VR game, but an okay video game, right? Where when you talk about the VR elements, it is a full-fledged game. It has a, you know, it's like, it runs you about 7 hours long, right? It's a pretty sizable game. It has a story there. It has varied game mechanics there. It has a little bit of exploration there, right? But I think at the end of the day, as a pure video game, my video game experience, by the time I got to the end of it, I felt like I had been way past done, right? Like, I don't think the game needed to be that long for the mechanics that were there. If it is a game where you were doing, I want to say, like, 70% climbing in this game, and to their credit, over the 6-7 hours in the game, they do add tools to try and give the climbing a bit more variance and make it more interesting. You get a cool, like, I guess these tools don't really have names because they made up the tools, but, like, you have, like, a thing that you stab into a thing and then you throw it.
The pickaxe.
You have the pickaxe. Yeah. You have grappling hook.
A pickaxe is real.
I'm talking about the grappling hook. Is also a real thing. But yes. You have different, like, forms of grappling hooks, right? You have one that you'll stab into a thing and then throw it to the next hook. You have a grappling hook you'll straight up just, like, throw upwards and then it'll attach to the thing and fall down. So you have different varied grappling hooks. And then, yeah, you have the pickaxe. And that adds in different forms of climbing. But, man, after 3-4 hours, I was done with the climbing gameplay. Like, I don't think it needed to last that long. The combat, I actually thought the combat was pretty fun, especially toward the middle, where you start to get more like, different types of ammo and different types of enemies to fight. When they throw in, like, 2 to 3 enemies to fight at a time, and it gets a bit chaotic, I think it is fun in the sense of, ah, shit, like, you feel like Aloy in the game, right? Like, you feel like you are an actual archer, and you're pulling that shit back, and you're dodging and going back and forth. But there are moments where it does feel like it is fighting against you. And this comes back to me playing at home, and maybe the lighting just not being bright enough, even though for my home, I feel like my home lighting is pretty bright. But the tracking would lose me in times where I'm like, just pull back the freaking arrow, and I see my hand floating away, and I'm like, no, like, get the arrow in there and shoot it off. Moments like that took me out of the combat a little bit. But Paris, you had something to say.
Well, yeah, because that was kind of the thing for me, in that it wasn't that I was losing tracking. It was the dodging aspects of it. I would find myself in the moment like, okay, I need to dodge. oh crap, do I have the right buttons in place? And then, oh, I'm getting hit and all that. And like I said, I'm getting better at it. But when it flowed, when I did have a groove in it, it felt good. It felt satisfying, taking down some of the machines in that aspect. But I just wish it was just a little bit more precise. I guess that's kind of my complaint coming out of it. But like you're saying, there's a lot of climbing.
I think Janet,
you hit the nail on the head. This isn't Astro. Like when we got Astro with the PlayStation 5, I felt like that perfectly demoed what the DualSense could do. Whereas this isn't that.
Astro's carrying all the hardware. PS5, yeah. PSVR1. Right. Like
that's the thing is, Astrobot Rescue Mission sold me on PSVR1. When I played that, I was like, oh, this is magic. Like this is a video game right here.
And that is like a system seller. And I, again, not every game is going to be a system seller. And it's not that I would only love Call of the Mountain if it was quite at that pinnacle. But the reason I use that as an example is because, especially when it comes to our earlier conversation of what differentiates it. Well, it just costs more. Like, right? That's not good. Like, we need it to be the first party games. So it's like, you can't just be like, all right. Like, I need you to be... So Call the Mountain and other, future first party VR titles, like they need to be so good that I can bring people over with that. Like, no, man, you got to play this. Like if you're going to pay, you got to get it for Call the Mountain. You know, it has to be like that.
One thing I want to come back to combat a little bit, because I want to comment on Paris's thing about the, it not feeling right in moments. One of the things I'll throw out there that I didn't love as much about the combat is that I think whenever a combat section did come up, it felt on rails to in a sense
it is
because
rails,
they literally
yes.
put you on a rail mm-hmm. right like
yes.
mm-hmm. it is yes. you basically strafing in a circle to dodge around the monsters that you're fighting, and they do that I think to add a bit more like agility to the fight, right? You feel a little bit more agile, but at the same time I think for me it highlighted the fact that I was on a rail and strafing back and forth and then kind of spamming the same arrows after a while, again, that I think got old and did overstay its welcome a little bit as well. But to some of the other elements of the game, I think the game looks gorgeous. The game looks fantastic. Some of the vistas, especially the art design and the visual design of it, they put mountain in the title. Like when you're climbing and you get high up and you look down, or when you're like toward the ground and you look up at the mountain, it's like, dude, this is visually stunning. And I do think that the power of the PSVR2, the fidelity of it, really does highlight the amazing design from Firesprite. I think they did a great job with that. The story, fine. I think it's also forgettable.
Yeah.
Like it feels in service of getting you to the next thing, right? As opposed to actually being interesting and engaging. I am not going to remember this story as a Horizon story, which is a bummer, because for me, I've associated Horizon up until now as a franchise and game that I am getting a dope story out of. And in this one you're playing as the main character, you get broken out of prison, ushered out of prison, and you are looking for your brother, right? You don't get broken out of prison because that implies you weren't supposed to get out, but you're climbing, I won't give you the whole story, right? But essentially you're looking for your brother, and that's the what drives the story forward. And I just didn't get enough interesting tidbits about like who the characters are, like the interactions between different characters didn't strike me as interesting or worthwhile. Like nothing about it got me fully interested in the story. And that's another part that bummed me out as well. But I think at the end of the day, when I think about the positive things that are the takeaways for me for Horizon Call of the Mountain, it is how good it looks. It is the fact that they were able to make a VR game that is running you 7 hours long, right? Like if for people that are Horizon stands and really want to check this out, you're going to get your money's worth in terms of playtime. But I do think that there could be some improvements just in terms of the game mechanics themselves. For me, they got old by the time I got to the end of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think for combat, like there's so much to unpack. There's like a lot they do with it, which I do want to compliment. Again, I don't want people's takeaway to be like, oh, I think this game sucks or something. Like, it is good. It just feels like a meal where all the stuff wasn't mixed together. So it's like, why am I eating cucumbers directly on the side of rice and then going back to eat the rice? Like, why is this not all mixed? Why is the meat not mixed in? And that's kind of my overall beef with it. and the fact that I think the best part or the most unique aspect is the combat, and it is a lot of like long climbing section, which if you like climbing in VR, you're like this, but if you don't like climbing in VR, I have bad news for you. You're going to climb a lot in this VR game.
This is a climb. And to be fair, as a climbing game, this is a great climbing game.
This is climb of the mountain, and I like climbing. Like I did that in like, there was like a National Geographic game or something where I was climbing it up. I was taking pictures of penguins and shit, you know, like I can climb. I'm down for the climb. But it was a lot, and because I loved the combat the most, like, it did feel like I was just waiting for that next combat sequence where I'm like, oh, thank God, some fucking food, and then I go back and I climb more. That being said, the combat's dope as hell. Like, it just take a little bit to, like, learn, get used to, okay, how do I take out my bow, and then, okay, I got my arrows and all that, but there's so many cool things with, like, how you craft the arrows, and, like, you pick up your items, and you physically craft the arrow. Like, you turn the bow to the side, and then you select craft, and you put on, like, the feather and the end piece, and, like, there's other really cool details that, like, fans will appreciate. Stuff like when you kill, well, like, I don't know, like, light spoilers, like, when you kill, like, the first Watcher, I was, like, as soon as I was playing, I'm, like, I was looking for what are those Horizon things they're gonna have in there, and one is, like, taking machine parts, and while they don't quite do it the same way they do it in the main game, where it's, like, oh, I'm getting all these machine parts to, like, make things, you can, like, pick out the eye by hand and, like, pull it out of the head, like, that shit is cool as hell, like, it is very much fulfilling a bit of that fantasy of being in that world, of being a, you know, a hunter, a person, you know, like, again, you're not Aloy, but, like, playing that role of that we're used to Aloy playing. And stuff like them having a little bit of the slowdown, but instead of it just being the slowdown, it's like scanning the machine. It's kind of like one button, but it does also freeze time a bit. So that gives you time to like aim a little bit. You have the different elemental arrows. You can do that. They have some fun stuff too with, I just fought some, what do they call those frosty birds of Glinthawks?
Yeah.
In the Glinthawk battle, when they do like freeze damage to you, it like freezes the front of your face, so you have to like wipe off the visor, which is a little kitschy, I'll give you. But I will say, like, the heights of Horizon Call of the Mountain play like your favorite modern arcade VR machine. Like, think of like having a dope moment in arcade, whether it's like House of the Dead or just any of those like kind of co-op exciting experiences. Again, this isn't co-op, but just kind of give you that example of the vibes where you're in it. And again, those are also
like you're talking about like Time Crisis
games.
Or House of the Dead, like where you're into it.
Yeah. And it's like, sure, it is kind of on rails because like the combat is like you're strafing left to right. But I think that's because you would throw up if you had to like run around in circles and spin and, you know, roll. I know why they did it that way. And I appreciate that they did it that way because it allows for the dodge elements, the aiming, the elemental stuff, gives you a little time to swap out things. Like, I really just love attacking machines in that franchise. And I think this is fun as hell when you're attacking machines. But one, because you're not doing that often. And two, because like I keep saying, it does feel like pieces that don't quite fully come together in a super cohesive way. That's really what I end up dinging it for. But the combat is super, super cool. Like, if you like shooting a freaking bow, like a bow and arrow, you're gonna like love that element of this game because like it does it very well. And it's just, I don't know, it's very immersive and super fun.
Janet,
to me,
speaking of that, I want to bring in a question from Kurt Burns, who writes in and says, I have a two-part question regarding Horizon Call of the Mountain. One, can you shoot components off of the robots in this game? And two, if so, does the precision of PSVR 2 make it easier and more satisfying than it was with the DualShock/DualSense controllers?
I don't know if it's more satisfying because I feel like you inherently have more control when you have a traditional controller in that traditional game setup. Like, the mechanics of Horizon mainline are deeper than the mechanics you get in the VR game. And again, that's not a bad thing necessarily. You could not have all those mechanics because it would just be overwhelming and kind of suck. So, like, I know why it's stripped down. I think it's pretty competitive, though, because I do feel, like, a pride to getting those machine parts off in both of them. And, like, I don't know. Maybe I'll look back at my gameplay footage and be like, this isn't actually that good. But I swear to God, like, I was doing some shit in that VR game where I'm like, am I a pro gamer? Like, I'm fucking kicking ass in this game. And genuinely, even though Horizon's not like a hard game, I feel like Horizon, like, I'm really good at that game. I know the language of the world. I know all this stuff. Like, I know what the damage is. Like, I know all of that shit already. So, like, it is still fun to do that stuff. Like, there are some aspects I wish they did a little bit more of in terms of satisfaction, like a little bit more baked in stealth moments. I think the fact that you can shoot a Watcher straight in the eye and the Watcher doesn't die, I get it's because they want to like get more juice out of those gameplay sequences. Yeah. But as someone that's played the franchise, I'm like, I feel like I want to be more rewarded for my precision. And I do feel like other than taking out machine parts, like blowing up the back of like I think it's like a scrapper or something. Like a few things that work in the mainline world don't quite work the same here, like the Watcher Eye example, and that part's a little bit of a bummer. But everything else, like, it hits, and you hear the person mention, like, oh, it's stunned, or he's frozen, or, like, whatever, and, you know, you're, like, doing the stuff, but, yeah.
I want to bring in this question from Giordano that I believe is probably a question for Janet. Does Horizon Call of the Mountain have a platinum, and yes. Is it reasonable / fun to obtain? Janet, did you check out the trophy list?
Oh, man. I did check out that trophy list. I don't know if it's going to be fun to maintain. And bless, you know, you said you did beat this game completely, right?
Yep.
Okay. What's the, is there like a chapter select or like an area select? Is it easier to like rerun mission? Because a few of those trophies, okay.
In the hub area, there's a whole mission select thing.
Okay. Because there is one trophy that's like, it does seem like it'll be kind of a bitch without a guide, because one of them is like your main, I don't know if I call it a collectible, but you know, you're hitting like these targets off of the background. Like, oh, I destroyed whatever. Yeah. And one of the trophies is like, get all of them in a mission, like in one go. And I'm like, the thought of redoing this without a guide, like maybe with a guide, it won't be too bad. But I do think it's, and I get it because it's a short game, but it's just like the thought of having to hit all of those pieces. I get why it's there, but like, I don't want to have to rerun a mission to do that. I wish it was a little bit more seamless. Like, because, you know, the mainline games don't have that kind of restriction. So I do think aspects of the trophy list are a little bit limiting, but there is a platinum. The rest of the stuff seems pretty simple. So I think there'll only be maybe, you know, one or two kind of lightly annoying trophies. I think the rest will feel pretty achievable. And I think the one that's, I don't know if it'll be the most fun because it is inherently repetitive, but there's a training grounds area where it's like target practice. And doing that's like a fun way to like get good with the bow. And like one of the trophies I think is to get like the high score there. So like I'm chipping away at that over time. So it's so. I will say like I'm not, which is kind of like the damning part of this game. I love this franchise, but I'm not like, I feel like I'll be getting this platinum like for the culture a lot more than for the fun. And like Horizon 1 and 2, I genuinely was like, I love this game. I'm fucking eating it up. I'll play whatever. You know, I did shit in Forbidden West that I didn't even need to do. I'm like, this is just for me because like I want to get all of this. Or when I upgrade my armor, I want to be actually like really good armor. So I'm not going to do the green one. I'm going to do like my fucking get, you know, fight apex snakes and get like the heart out of them and stuff. Like I was going in. This game does not make me want to go in at that level. And I think that's the only part that will feel kind of like meh as far as getting the platinum.
So we're winding down on time, and I want to at least talk a little bit about some of the other games that we've gotten to play in PSVR 2. And of course, you know, the PSVR 2 comes out in what, about a week or so? I want to say next week. And so I'm sure we'll talk a lot about PSVR 2 next week as well. But I do want to talk a little bit about games. Paris, give me one or two games that you really enjoyed in PSVR 2 over the last week.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you one because this is the one that I was saying this is where it clicked for me. This is my favorite VR game. It was Tentacular. I love the concept of it, the art style. Like I felt I was in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I think that's the best way. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood at Sea. That's literally what it is. But I thought the way that it used the sense controllers, basically the physics, because you know there's different type of puzzles and you got to kind of stack things together and build things. There's a lot of different things that you can do in the game. And I'm like, okay, this makes sense in VR. I felt like I was truly in control of what I was doing. Plus I love the story that this game has as well. And that goes back to my point of, you can tell this is something that was built from the ground up for VR and it totally works. Like I said, I instantly fell in love with this. Had a great time playing. I mean, it's not the longest game in the world, but it's a lot of fun if you sit down and start playing it, get into that Mr. Rogers-esque world, I guess you can say. I love the language that they had. I just love everything about it. It was a fantastic game. So absolutely, that was my favorite thing of all the different games that I got to play so far in VR.
Janet, did you get to check out Tentacular?
Yeah, you know, in case you missed it, the premise of this one, it's like you're an octopus. You have tentacles.
The
right?
game okay, starts so. Off and it's like you're looking at these little humans, and they're like, we got to tell you, you're adopted. And like, as a character, you have tentacle arms. It's actually really funny. It has a good sense of humor.
No, genuinely, and I think so many VR games nail humor in such a cool way. I like this one a lot too. Like when I, you know, again, my VR experience was very like intense and very like quick hit. So my first two games were, you know, Horizon and Star Wars, and I think maybe a little bit of Moss. And then I jumped in on like the next day that I played, I did Tentacular and What the Bat. And even though like in some ways, you know, there's less going on in games like Tentacular and What the Bat, those are some of my favorite VR experiences. And I'm right there with you, Paris. Like, my number one's What the Bat, but like Tentacular, I was really enjoying it. I had a lot of fun. It's comfortable. It's simple. It's essentially a bunch of different like fun little physics, like puzzles, yeah, or kind of mini games almost in terms of how the mechanics feel. But the idea is stitched together well in like a cohesive way of, oh, you have like these little jobs in town and you're like going, you know, when you have your like home base, it like makes sense narratively as well. And like they have like some cool little extras of, oh, as you play, you like unlock more items for like this little area that's just yours, right, and you can kind of mess around there. So I feel like I did such a good job taking advantage of what that baseline mechanic is of like moving around, like experimenting with how you can hold and flip objects, having little stuff like an easy way to like reset the level or to like swap to the city if you need to. I will say this is an example of a game, and a lot of games have this. VR is obsessed with like, we can't just do a regular UI. Like we have to, like their settings are like inside a different, I'm like, okay, I don't need to be immersed when I'm in a settings section. I think this could have been a screen, but I appreciate the commitment. But yeah, Tentacular was a bunch of fun. So I'm really enjoying my time with it and plan to see that one through for sure.
Hell yeah. For me, I started off, I took VR home. I did the thing where I looked at I tried different games and they're like, hey, you need 6.7 feet. And I was like, ah, shit. And I booted up this game called Demio that had appeared before in the PlayStation State of Plays. And it's like this cool tabletop board game where you have different characters and character archetypes you can pick. And you are playing against this dungeon master, and you know, you're playing on space, you're playing on a board, and you can like, you know, move a certain set of spaces depending on what your abilities are and who your character is, and then you're fighting in like this fun little tabletop game that takes place in like a bedroom, right? But you can zoom in and really get close and feel like you're actually in this tabletop dungeon. This game was really neat. I didn't get to play a lot of it. I played maybe about an hour of it, and I was pretty impressed by, one, how good the game looked. When you're looking around in this room and it's like, wow, I feel like I am playing this interesting tabletop game where the characters have like voices and they like, you know, they actually attack each other on the board. It felt very neat. I thought this game was a really cool idea, and for the hour I played of it, I thought it was a pretty fun time. So I played that, and then, you know, I went through some games that I'd play Kayak VR. It was interesting. It was cool, right? I got motion sick and I've not gone back since.
Kayaking
then
is also hard, and I will say that game's hard to play because since you don't have any doofy peripherals for this console yet, I don't know if we ever will, it's hard because you like would need to be holding a stick that's like horizontal and stationary, but you have your two loose hands. So I just found it like, will say Kayak VR, if you're looking for Kayak Sim, this could be cool. I think if you're a casual player, it's too hard for me. So I also found it very too casual.
I found it very difficult as well. I appreciated the tutorial. That is that the mechanics are there, right? Where it is, you want to turn left or maybe right. You have to.
This is why me and Bless could not like do anything.
Yeah, this is why I sucked at Kayak VR. But you want to row on one side to go one way, and then row on the different side to go the other way. But then you can also drift by holding your paddle in the water, like stick it in there, and then you'll drift that direction. The mechanics felt really cool and kind of realistic. But yeah, the game's pretty hard. But if you're into kayaking or if you want to challenge, Kayak VR seemed pretty cool. And then, man, I played, so Res Infinite, right, is an older game. I actually never got around to Res Infinite. I am such a Tetris Effect Connected fan, which if you remember, Tetris Effect and Res Infinite come from the same studio, that's Enhanced. And, you know, I played a bit of Tetris Effect Connected, fucking loved it because it's Tetris Effect. And then I moved on to Res Infinite and played a bit of it for the first time. And Res Infinite is dope as hell. Like, oh my goodness, did I have a good time in this game. It is a it's an on-rails shooter that takes place in like this weird digital space that is very abstract, that feels like a mixture between like the internet, like early internet meets space. And stylistically, it is so different and so weird, and so it feels old school. I know Res originally is more of a classic game now, but the VR version keeps that same energy where it feels old school, but also feels just like you're in this weird different world at the same time. And then the soundtrack, like, goddamn, does the soundtrack hit. And if you play Tetris Effect,
it's really good.
You already know. But like, yeah, and if you played Res, of course, you already know. But man, did I have a good time playing through this game, listening to the music, and not wanting to put it down for about like the hour and a half that I played it for. Like, I'm a bit past halfway through, I think, because it's like there's five areas they can play through in their original campaign, and then I know there's Area Zero, I believe is what it's called. But yeah, had such a good time playing Res Infinite as well. And Paris, it sounds like you checked it out as well too.
Yeah, actually, right before we started recording, I jumped in and played a couple levels. But yeah, like you said, the soundtrack on it's really good. The music's great. And I call it, and I know I'm old, so, but there was a movie in the 90s called Lawnmower Man. It's Lawnmower Man the game. That's what it is. Love it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this episode of PS I Love You XOXO. Of course, we have way more questions to answer. I'm kind of bummed out that we don't have enough time to answer more of these questions, but we'll be back next week. Paris, what's up?
Can I ask one before we get out of here, super quick? Again, this being my first experience with VR, all I've ever heard over the past few years is Half-Life Alyx is the game to play. That's the game. That's the one for VR. It's fantastic. So I'm shocked that it's not here at launch, number one. But number two, do you think, like, when we talk about Horizon, is that a disappointment that there's not a Half-Life Alyx type of experience at launch for VR2 from your perspective?
For me, yes. And that is all that comes with the fact that it's not backwards compatible. And so it's not even like I could go back and play Astrobot Rescue Mission. Even the fact that Beat Saber's not here at launch. I know Beat Saber is coming through later, and so I'm not gonna hold that against them too much. But right now at launch, yeah, I don't have that experience. I've not gotten to try out Gran Turismo. I was actually really excited to try out Gran Turismo. Yeah. Maybe Gran Turismo ends up being a form of that to me, but Gran Turismo is also a game that isn't exclusively VR, right? Like, that is a game that I can play outside of VR. I do wish that there was either a Half-Life Alyx or a new Astrobot or something that is VR is dope as fuck. Like, there's not that game on the platform for me right now. I don't know what you think, Janet.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Like, and there's also just not enough new. So it's like, we don't have enough old ones and we don't have enough new ones. We don't have enough of anything. And that's why I land on that 3 out of 5 for it. Like, it just doesn't... It's not there yet. And the whole like 30 games, like launch window thing too, it kind of feels like, oh, like happy birthday, I got your stuff. Oh, also like I ordered you this other thing and it'll be here later. And it's like, right. I guess that's fine. Cause like you still gave it to me, but it's like, it's kind of shitty that I can't open it now. Cause like, this is the day that we're doing it. Like this was the time to have this ready to go. And obviously I'm sure there are many like hurdles and challenges, and like in general with any platform, console, whatever, the launch is always going to be kind of thin. Like there aren't ever that many games for anything like that at launch in that way. And that's also like why it's another L that doesn't have the backwards compatibility or doesn't have like more stuff baked in there. But that's also why, like, you know, we talk about console launches all the time. And if you have like even just one like banger game, like that's kind of enough. Cause it's like, okay, well, we're just getting started. With this being our getting started point, it doesn't have the momentum that it needs to have to carry me through to that next, when those 30 games trickle in and that beyond point in an exciting way. Again, we're here now. I'm down for it. I'll be here. I don't have time to talk about it, but What the Bat fucking hits hard as hell. That thing is fire. I beat that game and that game was amazing all throughout. Totally utilized the platform so well. I'm obsessed with it. What the Bat is so freaking good. But again, also still not new. So it's like, even if that was just new, like it would be a better day for PSVR 2. But, you know, more games to come. It'll really just depend on what that, you know, first party support looks like in the long term. Also, again, we're running short on time, but the charging station looks dope as hell. And also, I feel like you kind of need it because that way you can charge them both at once. But it looks very like my brother saw it and was like, this is very like 2000s. What we thought the future looked like. That's the stock. This is, and it's
that
Detroit it.
Become Human feature that PlayStation won so badly.
Mm-hmm. Making it happen.
But yeah, Paris, for you, as somebody who's brand new to VR, I do think that you're in probably a better and more exciting place than me and Janet, right? Because you do have like these games that we've talked about here, right? The Res Infinites of the world, Tentacular, games like that. But then also, you know, Moss 1 and 2 are out on, are coming to PSVR 2. And so like I've heard such good things about Moss. I personally haven't gotten the chance to check out Moss yet. But that's one that I'm sure if you check it out or once you check it out, I'm sure you'll probably like a lot. Yeah. And then you have games here and there. Pistol Whip, I think, is a really cool game, right? And like these games I'm listing, I don't know if any of them are Half-Life Alyx. Like they're not, but yeah, there's still, I think for you, there's probably enough good experiences there for you to get a lot of juice out of it and a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my approach. I just feel like it's all brand new to me. So I'm in explore mode. Like, let's see what's out there. What game is going to grab me, like Tentacular as an example. But I do eventually want to see that Half-Life Alyx type of experience where you're playing just a full-on AAA game through VR and how that's going to work. So like I said, I am excited for the future of what VR2 is going to provide. But I get what you and Janet are saying, because you already have experience in this space. So you were wanting a little more at launch, and it just simply wasn't there.
Well, we're going to talk more about VR2 as the weeks go on. But for now, remember that this has been PS I Love You XOXO, your weekly PlayStation podcast that you can watch live on patreon.com/kindoffunny or later on podcast services around the globe. Paris, thank you again for joining us. Janet, thanks for coming back for another week. I'm glad you haven't just peaced out and disappeared.
Yeah, I'm here.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.